Hi, friends. The world got you down? Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
Obsessed with things that happened before your time? Well, if you are, join me, the host of Before My Time, Gelsey Laurie, to discuss the wonders of the yesteryears that we weren't around to enjoy ourselves. You can find us on all podcast platforms.
Soon you'll be swaying, so come on, sing along.
We have finished Dare to be Stupid. We've got Polka Party just on the horizon, but there is an important stop along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Which technically, I think this is in the middle of or even possibly just a couple weeks predating Dare to be Stupid, but it just felt like it made more sense to do it as a wrap-up Dare to be Stupid. And there was one man who, upon hearing that we were going to cover this, at the end of his last appearance was like, you need to have me on to discuss The Complete Owl. UH Jeff himself. Jeff, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me back.
I'm so happy to have you on this episode because I have so many questions about this. starting with this, because I did not know, this came out before Dare to be Stupid?
I need to check the date on that. Is that true?
So here's what I understood. This is
because
it has the video
for Dare to be Stupid and One More Minute are included within. But if it was a promotional vehicle of some kind, that does sort of make sense.
So here's why I'm saying this predated Dare to be Stupid. According to the Wikipedia, it says the following: the film came about when CBS Home Video approached Yankovic to make a long form music video. The production, which had a budget of $250,000. Also included the making of the music videos for Like a Surgeon, Dare to be Stupid, and One More Minute that ended up being included in the film. So from what I understand, the production of The Complete Owl, that money was also allocated to make multiple music videos for Dare to be Stupid.
That is
which is why,
because
we talked about how like every one of his albums, it's like one big budget video and then one like here's $100, good luck video. But for Dare to be Stupid, there was like four videos ultimately for that album.
Right,
that's
right, right.
Why? Because
that
of
is
the complete
true,
owl.
But Dare to be Stupid was released June 18th, 1985, and The Complete Owl's initial release was August 7th, 1985 on Showtime.
Got it.
Yeah.
So it was produced earlier but came out later. So chronologically for our show, we're right where we should be.
Good. And then it was released as a 60-minute version premiered on Showtime.
Yeah.
The full film was released on VHS and Betamax in September
and
of 1985. And then the film was later released on Laserdisc in 1986.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a delay. I apologize.
That's funny.
And then it says a 10-minute version of the mockumentary appeared in the sixth Al TV special, which aired in 1992. So we'll get to rewatch that in a couple months, the same way that we got to rewatch a lot of the Al TVs that we already saw while watching Complete Al. So the man knows how to recycle footage.
Well,
if nothing else.
Well, and that's what's so interesting about this whole, not to just like, but just to dive into it, like essentially while watching this, I had seen this before, but watching it again for this, it was like, this is essentially like, you know, it's like what you'd call like, it's almost like a video resume. It's a sizzle reel or like one of those like Hollywood lingo terms. Like it's everything he had done up until that point.
The slowest burning sizzle reel ever.
Attempting to spin it into this actual narrative, you know, mockumentary, while also still hitting the marks of showing all the videos, showing some Al TV footage and being like, here's the story of how we got Al to where he is at this moment. Yeah.
Well, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating for this to be the first episode that we're recording in a post Weird the Al Yankovic story world, because this really feels like the prototype for what that movie became. This is obviously a little bit more truer to fact than Weird was. There's so much to like about this. So, I mean, first of all, we waste about 2 minutes on a disclaimer scroll that just is never ending.
I wouldn't say we waste it. It is pretty good. I haven't seen that a couple times, but it is funny. They ate up
the running time of this movie with the two-minute disclaimer
scroll.
Oh, there's
a lot of padding on the runtime.
It's the patented copy-stop program. Like,
exactly.
It's fantastic. But there is this scene that kicks off the movie where Al is basically doing Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's so many thoughts that ran through my head, because first of all, at this point in the show, we're about to kind of walk away from the era of like Weird Al is punk as fuck. Like, but
we're not walking away yet.
That scene, as I'm watching it, I'm like, I know that this is supposed to be funny. And it is. Like him like rubbing the accordion against the speaker like it's going to give it feedback and like lighting it on fire. Like all of that is really funny. But what I couldn't stop thinking is the exact same way that I have spoken so highly about the scene in Ricky where they open up the door and they are rocking the fuck out in that room. I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Yeah. Like, it looked so cool. If I was in an audience watching this, I'd be so happy.
Yeah, to me, it was like a glimpse of like how I saw Al as a rock star when I was a little kid watching this. I'm
totally.
Like, yeah, that's his show. Of course it is. Like, I'm nine.
but see, here's the thing that's crazy is that like, yes, this is clearly like a shot in a studio to look like it's in front of this arena of people, but it's not that far off from later on in the movie when we actually see live footage of the band playing the Buckingham Blues and they are still rocking out on that stage as a four piece. Like, this is like a snapshot of the pre-costume change giant theatric Al set where it's just like, no, we're just four dudes on stage, one of us has an accordion, and we are rocking our little hearts out.
Yeah.
And kicking like, all the ass.
Yeah, truly.
Like it really captures a time period that, I mean, I guess we're starting to get back to it with the self-indulgent tours that are happening, but like, you know, there was pretty much Dare to Be Stupid is where the like theatrical sets really started to take off, and that was the basis for what? 30 years was what his
the tour costume was changes
that?
And all of that. Absolutely.
So it's kind of cool to like have this little snapshot of like, this is what it used to be. I love there's just so many great jokes throughout this, and it kicks off right out the gate with, I love the Beatlemania aspect that Al always likes to present to himself when he does any of these like true stories with quotation marks
even,
around
even
it.
Down to the title. It's, you know, based on the complete Beatles, obviously.
It's true, exactly.
Just like
exactly.
Spelled the same, and it's so great. But yeah, him walking through the throngs of fans getting into his limo.
Painting the black across the
Yeah, to hide himself from all the women throwing themselves at him. Yeah, no, that was really, really
funny.
That's
how the windows get tinted in Al's world, and I love it.
Oh, my God. And then, you know, we do the... What is also really charming about this is like we said, it's a precursor to what we got with the Weird movie. But, like, there is so much of it that's real. You know what I mean? Like, I have no doubt that Al combed through hours of home videos to find as many clips of him falling as a baby to do the montage of him falling.
Obviously we didn't go like hit for hit, but this must be a bit more factually accurate than Weird.
A bunch of it's real.
I mean, not obviously it goes like Weird, it takes tangents very quickly and you can tell like, okay, well, wait, maybe not that. But yeah, it's funny, like all the footage, the photos of him as a child, like that's all obviously him, like real life stuff. It's really his parents in the movie talking about him.
Which always, I always feel so sad when I see his parents.
It's
like it's a tough subject to me.
It is.
Like that's like something where it's like, I don't know Al. I don't know this man personally whatsoever. But I feel so... I can vividly remember hearing that news.
No, I know. Me too. Like,
it is a real fucking bummer.
Yeah, it was just terrible.
Yeah, but it is wonderful to see in this context how great they were at playing along with him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were so up for the joke, and they were so, like, I mean, obviously they're not actors.
No, and they're clearly, and
nothing has shone brighter than the lack of acting.
But somehow that makes it seem all the more believable.
They're
like,
so
like,
charming. They're so entertained by what's happening. Like, it's
so entertained, and because of they're not actors, they're just delivering these lines about not real stuff that feels just like your parents talk to me. Like, I don't know, somehow it makes it more authentic how bad they are at it. I love it.
So there's one other piece of like home video footage in the beginning that jumped out at me like crazy, which is that they're talking about, you know, they're like, oh, he always was stood well, and it's like him falling. They're like, and he had a flair for entertainment. And he's wearing this costume where it's like blue jeans and a giant like burlap sack with a face painted on it. That must have been such a popular costume in the 70s, because I have photos from my mom and dad's first Halloween party when they met each other. Sure, and there are like 8 people that showed up at the party with that exact same outfit.
What
like
is
a
it?
Burlap
so
bag
strange.
With a face. I don't know. I don't know what's appealing about it. It looks like it would be a nightmare to have to wear at a party for an entire evening.
DIY crafting has come a long way. Let's just say that. And we've really, really improved. But just to go back to one point, because I loved this line so much, and you mentioned it a little bit, but the line of... the narrator saying that Al always had a quote flair for the theatrical, and on that line it's just a photo of him falling down as a baby, like a baby falling over as a flair for the theatrical. That was the first like big LOL moment I had watching him. Like, that is a great line,
dude. And then immediately, you know, we're not going to sit and linger on any of the music videos because we've already discussed all of them at this point. But
Matt, I'm sure you were thrilled to see Ricky again. I literally wrote, Matt gets to watch Ricky. He must be thrilled.
I literally wrote, you know that I'm loving any excuse to watch Ricky again.
It's so good.
It's so good. I was very happy to watch Ricky again. All the videos really was fun to revisit
them. Oh,
they brought
nothing but joy. Yeah, for sure. We get the nasal factory scene, God they mentioned he was working at a nasal factory scene, because I literally thought he was sniffing glue.
Okay, so Jeff, now we're getting into the number of times throughout his career that the reference to the nasal decongestant factory from his childhood pops up.
Yes.
Is this rooted in any actual fact, or is this just a joke he came up with that he has run with for this whole time?
I think, as far as I can tell, it's just a bit.
That's amazing.
And it's a great, solid bit.
It's such a great bit. I just cannot believe how many times it pops up.
I know. I was half expecting it in Weird.
It did not pop up in Weird.
Was going to be revealed.
To be fair, we never really know what they make at the factory.
That's true.
We never learn what's going on.
We just know
that
it has a very high mortality rate.
A lot of people are hurt. It could be nasal decongestants. We'll never know.
There is a people-sized shredder there. So maybe.
That's true. Oh, God.
But the thing that's really strange about the complete Al is that there's... Like, I feel like in this early part, we get like the Ricky video, we get the nasal congestion factory, and then it's like almost right into I Love Rocky Road, like very close to each other. And then as the video goes on, it's like 30 minutes between music videos.
Yes. It's longer to ramp up the story to weave into whatever the videos are somehow.
True.
I love the fake jobs, like not only the nasal decongestant factory leading into Rocky Road, but his mom sorting sprinkles at the local Dairy Queen.
Yes.
I forgot about that. It killed me.
Well,
it's
don't they
so
say his
funny.
Mom, it's like his mom lived a happy life folding and unfolding
unfolding laundry. No one was sure why. I forgot about that. That was a good line.
So many good lines there, but... First of all, has nothing to do with anything tied to this beyond the fact that I just get real excited to hear Surfin' Bird in any context. So like him just sitting there playing Surfin' Bird and doing his little like wiggle dance in the chair filled me with joy. But you've heard me say this prediction before, Matt, and I feel like I'm justified in this. There is the scene where they're talking about him recording My Bologna in the bathroom, and they're talking to Phil Ramone,
Yes.
And he says, we use that exact same method for Billy Joel's An Innocent Man album. And I have gone on the record saying that I think that One More Minute is a direct parody on Billy Joel doing a 50s throwback album.
I think, I think you really might be onto something there. Yes, no, I loved the explanation, like, as if the reason why it was a hit had nothing to do with the song. It was just because he found the room with the best acoustics. Like, the whole reason he was successful was because, like, oh, he really, like, I mean, he saw the potential in this bathroom.
He's got the ear.
Those tiles just perfectly reflected the sound.
It's so good. And then we get into the auditioning for Al's band. And,
oh my God.
It's funny, but like you said, you had a couple, the hardest I possibly laughed this entire thing is the punk guy with the banjo singing the I don't want to do my laundry. Why don't you do it for me?
So again, now this is another good, do we know what is, is there any information about this man?
I went on IMDb this morning to try to figure out what I could. Most of those people, this is their only credit.
Oh.
There's the woman is still doing music, I guess, that like rocker chick. And then there's the guy from Booker T and the MGs, Steve Cropper.
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone's actually playing their instrument. Yeah, that part is at least very clear.
So so Steve Cropper shows up, and my best guess is that it's because he was in the Blues Brothers and some other film, Kentucky Fried
Movie.
He's
the one playing Soul Man on
Kentucky
the
Fried Movie.
Yeah, and both were produced by Robert K. Weiss, who did this as well.
Nice.
There you go. I mean, that the guy with the banjo, like, I want his album.
I need more of that in my life.
Like, it was folk punk before people knew what folk punk was.
And like, because of the nature of that section, like you were just saying, these are real people clearly playing. Like, I don't think that Al, like, I think that was probably his thing. I don't know if Al wrote that and said, do this, or if it was actually something he came in with, but I am
don't
just,
know.
That guy... Oh my
stole
God,
the,
I just
stole the whole movie.
Yeah.
I'm so sad I don't have more of him in my life.
Perfect. He's perfect.
I love, in a little bit of a slight gag, I do love that one of the labels that Al almost gets signed to is Placebo Records.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you know that we've been talking about it forever. The fact that this entire special, the Scotti Brothers, are depicted as like a little mafia operation.
Ronzoni Records. Yeah.
And Tad Dowd, like, Al's like real label guy, was in that scene in the conference room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can see him. There's a cutaway of him just smoking a cigar. Dude.
You know, we've talked about how, and we tread lightly because Matt and I like our lives, but we talk about how, like, the Scotties had a bit of a reputation, but Al seems like he has some weird immunity. It's almost like watching The Simpsons just take all the piss out of Fox as they possibly can. Like, Al just goes at the Scotties and still does.
Still, I would say to this day, he is still attacking them. It is wild. And I mean, now he's out. You know, like his deal is done now.
Yeah.
At this point, he's very much, they are his bosses. And he does not care at all.
Yeah. No. Why should he?
That's why we love
why
him.
Why should he? Exactly. He's making them money. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure that it was just. And also, he's just like, you know, at the end of the day, he's like, what are you going to do? This is what I do. You hired me. Uh-huh. I'm a comedian. I make fun of people.
but he was so beloved back then and today, obviously. But like, he was so like, everyone was just up for it. It feels like.
Yeah. Wow.
So they sign him to the record label, and we do this hilarious montage joke of Al walking in his Hawaiian shirt and his Vans, and they're like, and now we need to find his style. And it's just photo montage of ridiculous outfits before they land on the Hawaiian shirt and the Vans.
Yeah.
And that's what Slime Creature's playing, right?
Well, I was going to say, with this awesome Slime Creature's instrumental that has this crazy guitar solo over top of it that I don't think is in the actual song.
No, I don't think it is.
I think it might just be extended differently.
Yeah. It might be a different mix or whatever.
That's what I mean. It feels different. It's so cool. I almost wish that ended up on some type of compilation album where it's just like, hey, here's like the 2-minute instrumental of Slime Creatures is found in the complete album.
Yeah.
So good.
That That was wild.
Up until this point in the movie, is worth mentioning this, like, there's a weird thing happening here where it feels like Al is almost never talking.
He's sitting there.
It is the weirdest thing that is, like, everyone, every character is talking at him. And he's just sitting there silently, like, nodding or, facial expression reactions. And I just was like, what? Why would he not
like
talk?
He's almost like Forrest Gumped himself into this thing where he's just like the simple man with the world happening around him.
I love the bit in Barry Cohen's office where he's like, oh, he's on the phone. And he's just like, I've got a singer I want to introduce you to. His name is Weird Al Yankovic. What do you mean that's too bad? And Al just like... he just crumples.
But it's just so odd. It feels like it was such a choice that he is like not narrating or not communicating, and then all of a sudden he does. Like, I think really, and we haven't gotten to it yet, when as soon as he is standing in front of Michael Jackson's the altar of Michael Jackson, suddenly he starts talking. But it was just the weirdest choice for the first part of the movie that he is like an extra in his own movie.
Yeah. It's like 30 minutes into the movie before he speaks.
So weird.
This whole Michael Jackson sequence. Like, so this thing, we started off and it feels like you're watching like a Universal horror movie from the 30s.
Yes.
You know, like it's creepy house. The Grammy door knocker.
So good.
Is such a great detail. And then it's just so spooky. Like you said, this giant altar of this unspeaking Michael Jackson just sitting there as he's like, explaining what he wants to do. There's all these bizarre references to the weird Michael Jackson stuff of the 80s with like Bubbles the monkey dropping out of nowhere and shit. But then the monster transformation.
What? How? That was so crazy. I forgot that happened.
And it looks great.
Every penny of that budget of that film went to that moment.
It does seem like that was the whole thing.
Yeah, it's insane how... And it's not like... It keeps going. You know what I mean? Like, I thought like, oh, maybe we'll see like the hand transform and that's it. But it's like a full body transformation.
And I just love that it's for no reason. It's the full monster transformation. And then as soon as the transformation is complete, Al just shuts the door and it's over. Like,
yeah. And then we go right into the Eat It video, which brings me to a question that I have for Jeff.
Yes.
As the guy who knows everything, I sent a picture to Matt yesterday when I was watching this.
Okay.
And I could be completely wrong, right? I've never really thought about this for an extended period of time. I know because I've watched the making of Thriller 1,000 times.
Yes.
That Michael Jackson had to put in these gigantic glass contacts into his eyes for the cat eyes. Are the cat eyes just painted on the back of Al's eyelids for the final shot
of the music video?
No,
and actually, you can see images of them in Bermuda's new book that just came out, like, literally today. But basically, they are painted on the back of, like, they cut, like, a ping pong ball in half and just painted them on those. And so they're in there. He can't see out of them. Like, he's just... blindly walking around like on the set, I guess.
I was like, this is definitely not contacts. Like his eyes were like clearly not open.
Right.
No matter what was happening. Okay. That makes a little bit more sense. I was like, that's a pretty cool cheap way to do that effect is just have someone paint on your eyelids and just like close your eyes a la I Love You in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Right.
But
just a little aside, have you seen the new 4K version of the Eat It video that Al posted last week?
Yes.
So we were texting about this as well.
Uh-huh.
When we were recording a recent episode, we literally said, how is it in this day and age there are no 4K restorations of these old music videos?
I think
and
it was Dare like, to Be Stupid. I noticed
it was Dare to Be Stupid. And it was like literally like a week after that episode comes out, Al announces the 4K restoration of Eat It.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
I was going to say, we are on record taking credit for this, guys. We can only assume that Al heard our episode and was like, oh my God, they're right.
Yeah.
Stop everything. I have a lot of free time right now, and I'm going to go into the vault.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
all in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
We're here to entertain you. We'll sing your songs.
Hey there. Are you obsessed with things that happened before your time? Well, if you are, join me, the host of Before My Time, Gelsey Laurie, to discuss the wonders of the yesteryears that we weren't around to enjoy ourselves. You can find us on all podcast platforms.
Soon you'll be swaying, so come on, sing along.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Now that Eat It has come out, Eat It's this huge hit, we're getting into like the Giant Owl concerts. There's yep. so many details. Justin like setting up the green room in his hotel room, but the one that jumped out at me that I love,
trashing the room,
dude, the bedazzled Hawaiian shirts, the racks of bedazzled Hawaiian shirts crushed me. Yeah. Like
some of those
so
are
good.
Still in his storage unit. I have seen them in real life.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I also love, again, these moments, like we said with Slime Creatures. I love these sort of makeshift, because this is all to Midnight Star. I love yep. these like montages that are almost like makeshift videos for songs yeah. that didn't get. They didn't do the full Midnight Star, but it's just fun to see like something. I mean, it has nothing to do with the lyric to the song, but it's nope. a nice little like as close to a Midnight Star video as we're going to get from Al.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a couple of like really fun little like Easter eggs in there. Like the Variety magazine, the Variety yes. paper shows up. There's a couple of headlines that are one says Fun Zone stinks like a fish, says Tartikoff. And Fun Zone was this supposed SNL replacement that they were trying to produce that got canceled after one episode. But Al wrote the theme song for it. And it didn't get used, so we got it later on.
In UHF.
Yeah.
Wait, my God, I had no idea. That was, yeah. Fun Zone from UHF was originally the theme to this other thing?
Yes, but they wow. didn't use it, so Al just sort of kept it and gave it to us later.
That's great.
Yes, and there's also a headline that says, Imaginary Entertainment still waiting for green light from CBS Music Video. Like, it feels like... like they were just producing this like and just hoping for the best. I'm not really
wow.
sure.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, so the only other thing I had written about this particular segment, because we did talk about like we're seeing actual concert footage mm-hmm. at this point of the band up there playing, but there is this bit where Al is trying to get to the show and he's got like the whole security detail and someone grabs him from the detail to take photos of Al and sell them. But then Al gets pulled away and he immediately has a Weird Al lookalike in the wings to come in.
Yes.
And it's so good. The lookalike is so funny. It's so,
yeah, that is great. So good. And how they switch the price from $5 to $2 or whatever yep, it is. For like,
yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something, Jeff. This is the first time we're talking about I Lost on Jeopardy since I sat down and read the Seriously Al book. And okay. They called out a line, and I actually texted Matt about this when I read
yeah.
it, and this feels like a great time to mention because we now watch the I Lost on Jeopardy music video, and in that book, they suggest that it's not coincidence that Al in the song says that he loses to an architect, almost as if he's, you know, playing with the idea of like he lost to the person he could have been on Jeopardy. He could have been this.
I could see that. Yes.
Well-established architect.
Yeah.
just a little detail I want to call out because I didn't even think about that.
Is no Weird Al.
Yeah. No. I'd rather have Al losing on Jeopardy and us getting all this great music than him being just another architect that no one remembers the name of.
Correct.
Yes.
With accordion-shaped houses.
Burgeropolis.
Yes.
Oh, Burgeropolis. Yes.
Yeah. Another note of this moment here, talking about the celebrity impersonator, there's a great little thread here where you can really tell that Al has some genuine, I don't want to say disdain, because that seems harsh for him, but he clearly does not care for and enjoys making fun of the sheer idea of celebrity.
Yes. That's
a huge part of what this is. I mean, Weird does it as well. It's popped up for him in a few different ways, but this is one that like I really noted. I mean, he makes fun of it in Al TV as well, but boy, is he mocking the worship of an artist.
The
superstardom in general is just like he is making fun of. It's so interesting. He is making fun of people who love him. kind of, right? Like that's a huge part of what he's doing. But it's in a fun way.
It's more like making fun of the like crazy worldwide success stories, I guess. And Al is just like, really? What are we doing?
And just how like, strange
like,
it is.
Oh, that, Michael that, Jackson? Yeah. I'm going to make a song about food. Don't go to hell.
Exactly.
Everyone.
How strange it is the way that we look at people who do this.
Yeah.
And that we put them on this level of pedestal where literally you're paying for a photo with a guy who kind of looks like the guy that you like.
And I love just like wrapped up in all of that, the like bootleg, you know,
all merch. The bootlegging. Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah. There's like little Al bobbleheads that just look terrible.
All the insane commerce that goes along with it. Yeah. 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 It's all there. And again, it's
don't
like,
don't forget your slice of Weird Al pizza. It just chills me. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. I love that he's like acknowledging that he's part of it. While also making fun of it. It's like he is mocking it while at the same time acknowledging that like he is still part of this very system that he is ridiculing. I love that side of it. It's really, I don't know, that really spoke to me.
Matt, I don't know about you, but given last week's episode of Al TV, they talk about Al going to Japan and there is...
Oh my God.
A moment of dread that hits me because...
As soon as we started to see the Japanese footage, I was worried.
What?
Why it came out okay.
This was just because on Al TV there was moments in it that were like we were talking about how like as years have passed there were a few things in there that were like he probably would not have done now just like you know jokes about Japanese culture where the joke is just that this is a different culture, isn't it funny?
Sure.
In this context this was
no,
fine.
No complaints.
Everything about this was good.
No, this was like anything like I like watching this as a child.
Yeah.
I was like, I cannot wait to go to Japan. Like,
totally.
Yeah.
Literally just.
Dude,
for,
the
50s
dance off in the middle of the street or whatever.
Amazing.
Looked dope as hell. Like, and I love
amazing
that it serves no purpose beyond seeing how genuinely charmed Al is watching it. Like every time it cuts to him, he's having the time of his life watching.
Oh, it's
like,
amazing. Have you guys seen there's a performance of Edith from a Japanese TV show? They show a clip of it here, but there's...
Well, that's the other thing I wrote down. This is where we hit that weird, like, uh-oh, was like, this is very clearly a legitimate clip of him performing Eat It on a Japanese TV show.
Yeah.
The Al TV 3 shows the Japanese version of Eat It, which is
terrifying. Yeah.
Yes. Like, it's like, that is where you're like... Oh no!
What are they doing? What are they
exactly? Exactly.
What were they
and
thinking?
Al didn't
shooting
do that.
This?
That was like a thing that happened.
So that was our great debate. Was that something he found and brought in for Al TV, or was that something that they shot?
No,
as a joke
shoot,
for
he
Al
did not
TV.
Shoot that no, that was that was completely just a thing that, that I think they were presented with it when he was over there.
Wow. Okay, that's like, really good to know. That's really
that's fantastic.
Good to know.
This is I'm so glad this is the episode after that Al TV.
agreed.
No, because even Al, you can see like he's like, what the hell? Because what is that? That is just
it's super strange.
Super weird.
Yeah.
But
that's what
TV
we were saying. The idea of
on.
Al, the idea of Al commissioning that made us nervous.
Yeah. No. But the TV show he's on, like there's a full length clip of that.
Yeah.
Of him doing Edith on this show. And you can tell he has no idea what's happening around him.
God.
And it gets crazier and crazier as the clip progresses to the point where they wheel out this man in a lobster costume and they're telling him to eat it. And Al's just like, I don't know what to do. And he's like going in for a bite. We're yelling at him. And he's just like, you can just see on his face that there's just no coming out of this safely.
I also wonder if that Japanese morning radio show is like a legit thing where he's just like, I don't know what you're saying.
I love that moment so much.
The weird, trying to translate.
Because it seems very authentic. Like it seems like he is very much out of his element in that moment. So good. And the most embarrassing thing, though, for me, knowing me as a person, I've never been outside of the United States. I do hope to one day. the idea that I would go to Japan and then get McDonald's is so close to the reality of who I am as a person that it's
embarrassing. I am a person who has done that. I will, I will cop to it.
Another funny thing, we've said it before, again, the idea of just like, at this point in time, the funny idea that just sushi, the concept of sushi is just hilarious. at this point in 80s America, it is just like,
just can't.
What could be funnier than the idea these people eat raw fish?
So
I love him going to the McDonald's.
I love his guide going, oh, there's a lot of Japanese restaurants.
what's good to eat around here? It's like, well, we have a lot of Japanese food. That's true. That's true.
So then that goes into the montage of all the LTV stuff. And I won't dive it. We literally just did a bunch of episodes on these. Sure. But I will say that the State of Shock video is still hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That is truly one of the funniest bits he's ever done.
I can talk about this for 7 hours. Like, I am just obsessed with the artistry of it. Like,
it's brilliant.
It's just so insane that they got this real record executive, Harvey Leeds, to do this. And it's one shot, one take. We're just slowly going in while he goes crazier and crazier. That
so
mask
good.
That just comes out for like one line. Like, it's just
It is astonishing. It's as compelling as it is.
It's so nuts. Like, it's just so, there's nothing else like it. I can't believe that was on TV. Like, just like, it is Al at his best, just being like, go here, sing this thing. There's like with no music, just do it yourself.
Totally absurd.
How did that guy not die of embarrassment? Like, I would have died if I had to do that.
So the only other thing I wanted to mention with the Al TV is the way that, we've talked about this on the episodes. The way that we watch the Al TVs is literally just that some saints out there have uploaded most of them to YouTube, but there are missing clips. There was one scene that showed up during this montage that I am pretty sure we didn't see because it was on a missing clip, and I'm curious if Matt saw this too. Or maybe I missed it when we did the Al TV, but when Al makes an ice cream carrot and Twinkie on whole wheat bread sandwich eats it.
That is in Al TV.
Okay,
because
so I did miss that.
I remember it.
That is the most disgusting thing I can possibly imagine. I don't know how I missed that the first time around.
Yeah, no, it's pretty rough.
I feel like there were a ton of like TV shows in the 80s that he was doing these talk shows and stuff, and he would always come with these weird recipes. I remember on Just Say Julie, he did a petroleum jelly and peanut butter sandwich. And just, it's like the worst thing ever. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
The fact that he's still alive with the foods that he was willing to eat on camera is insane.
Seriously.
I can see why he became vegan.
Yeah. And now we get into what is just like music video, short segment, music video, short segment, music video again. But I need to call out that we do the This Is The Light video, and they replaced all of the Johnny
It's all gone.
And it's like a shorter cut of the video, and like the tap dancers are just tapping to no taps.
Yeah, that's right.
Weird.
It's crazy. I was like, literally, it's the only thing I wrote in all caps. I couldn't believe that they went through and re-edited that out. We get this short bit about Al's failed experimental era we never got the album of.
Album, Me, Myself, and I.
I need that cover as a t-shirt.
It's so good.
And then we get the Like a Surgeon video. There is, as we've said before, Al loves to put at least one extra racy joke in there when they go to show the One More Minute video and it's Babes in Bondage pops up first on the screen.
Edible underwear.
The edible underwear, I love that merch pitch.
The merch,
by the way, the guy who pitches the Weird Al costume, he is, as far as I could tell, the only actor that has had a career since this movie.
Oh, really?
Like, he's gone on. He's still working today. He's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah, well, that's good for him.
Good for him.
And then I think the thing that is most memorable to a lot of people who have seen the complete Al is this final sequence of the Dare to Be Stupid video pitch, where Al just keeps yelling a kiwi over and over again. Like, it's so good. Like, it's so long. It's such a long sequence.
It's like a scene. It's like the one of the only scenes in the whole movie, really.
It's
like, it's
unbelievable.
It's like a set piece.
And that's, again, that's what makes the whole thing so incredibly strange, is it's like, it is this hodgepodge of all of this existing footage. They were like, how can we smash this together?
Mm-hmm.
And they clearly got ambitious with a couple of things, like the Michael Jackson sequence must have been very expensive.
Yeah.
And then that is like an actual scene. And then so much of it is just the most bare. At one point, I actually said, I'm like, did they just drop the narrative entirely? Because it really did feel like they just were starting to show videos. Like suddenly it was like a ton of Al TV and then a music video. I was like, maybe they've just given up on the thing.
It was like the deadline came up and they're like, I don't know, just write narration that he did some Al TV and we can fill like 10 more yeah. minutes with
exactly,
footage.
Exactly, exactly, yeah.
A lot of that stuff does feel like, oh, we can maybe show some clips, just get another line.
Exactly, is all we need is a line or two, or even just a yeah. reaction shot of Al with somebody else. They got all these weird, quiet moments. So strange.
It's crazy, though, that they cover Al TV, but they didn't show a single segment of the interview footage scenes.
No, none of that.
Which we now come to know is the main thing that people yeah. take away from Al TV, but I guess Al TV was still so fresh that like they didn't realize that was going to be the thing people remembered.
Yeah,
or there was a clearance issue, I imagine, like just trying to get that footage.
Oh yeah, for home video release.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like
that's
all. Most of those interviews, I think, just came from like MTV's library. Like right. yeah. just like rated it. Are you guys aware? By the way, just a small. I just have a note here. Are you guys aware of who the narrator was going to be?
No.
They were close to making a deal with Orson Welles.
Oh my God.
And it would have been one of his last projects because he died kind of right after. And they just couldn't get, I think it was like a union issue. I feel
his
like this was like
voice
a
reading these ridiculous things God. Would have been amazing. All right. Well, Jeff, thank you for joining us for this. I do want to ask, we went right into this, but what is it about The Complete Owl that made you be like, no, I need this is the one I need to be a part of?
I mean, other than Harvey Leeds, I love it so much because it is such a strange piece of art
yeah.
that is yeah. that sort of defies logic. Like, why does this thing exist? I'm so glad it does. But like on paper and even in execution, it's like, what is this thing? Like, I know it's sort of like an excuse to have like Al's home or Al's music videos sort of have a home release, but what the hell is this thing? Like, it's so crazy. It's just
also one of those things that like, you know, we're about to enter Polka Party, right? And
yeah.
and all things considered, in an alternate universe, that's also the last album we cover on this podcast. You know what I mean? Like, yes. like it could have been the end.
Is and it because he got assassinated at the Shrine?
Yes, exactly.
Very shortly after.
But it's like in that world, like let's live in that world where Al's career was literally 83 to 86. And then like we never hear of Al Yankovic again.
Yeah.
This thing would age the same way as like, when like a boy band is at the peak of their popularity and they put like the unauthorized biography
yeah.
of these like flash in the pan, like have a career for 2 years.
Yeah.
But like massive popularity
it's like,
type thing.
It's like Al's Spice World.
Yes. Like
yes.
exactly. Like
that's
it's like
a great
it's
example.
Such, it's such like a, in this moment, this person is bankable. So we're going to
do
everything
that
we can.
Anything they want. Like
yeah.
he could
yeah.
do anything he wanted. Clearly. Like he did this thing and it was gold. Like it's so
oh,
good
yeah.
and so freaking weird. Have you guys read the book? Yeah.
No, I was just about to say they
yeah.
did transcribe
Look
this into
you.
The authorized Al book.
Amazing. This My understanding is that that's pretty hard to find.
It is very hard to
yeah.
find. It's one of the rarer items
yeah.
in Al's merch tray. That's not but, you know.
We'll go with that, a merch tray.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, these usually go for like 80, 90, 100 bucks on eBay.
Yeah.
It is worth tracking down because it gives you what the Complete Al gives you, but goes more in depth and gets a little crazier in,
yeah.
in ways. And it's really, really funny.
Those are those books that I hope that one day I'm just walking around like a small mom and pop's used bookstore and it's just like sitting on the shelf for
absolutely
$3
that
or something.
Sort of thing. Yeah,
you're just like, oh, finally. All right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. Real quick, run down the credentials. Where can people see you or see some things that you've maybe worked on for tours?
You can see me in a very pivotal scene in Weird the Al Yankovic Story. I'm in the background.
Congratulations, by the way. Very good.
Thanks.
And actually, really quick, not to interrupt you, but just as a general note for people who are listening to this, as of this recording, The Complete Al is available to watch for free on Tubi. Yes. I would highly recommend that you watch it. This is, to me, this feels like the easy to see how this and UHF got us Weird, the movie that just came out. Like, a lot of the ideas are here, incredibly decades ago. The general concept of the mockumentary, the fake life story, is here. And then UHF, some of the weird vignette-y type things that happen. It's just, it's amazing to see how these things in his past got to where we are now with him putting out this wildly successful biopic.
I'm so excited for him, by the
way. So excited for him.
This movie, like, Weird is such an excellent film.
It really is, like, amazing.
Just on its own, you know, Weird Al regardless. But like, it's so cool to see this, like, succeeding for him.
Totally. It's fantastic. It's,
I'm sorry, it's pretty much all thanks to me in that scene.
I was going to say, most people I know have been saying how great you were in that scene. So,
well, no,
congratulations.
See, the thing that I've been hearing, sorry to throw you under the bus here, Jeff, but I was told that Jeff specifically was the person that refused to let the movie play for a week in LA so that the song could be nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So,
I just don't want Al to EGOT.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah,
That is the biggest travesty. Is he's got to be pretty damn close to that EGOT, and I know.
Well,
just getting right in the way.
He's got a lot of Grammys. I don't know if you can trade them in for other awards yet. But
he needs to. Well,
there's
needs
like he
to
can trade five Grammys
Tony.
For one Oscar. Uh-huh. There's like like an upgrade program. I'm sorry, I cut you off on your other things, Jeff.
Beyond your television or your feature film appearance, there's some other Al stuff that if you're maybe going to a tour, you might be able to see some of your hard work.
Well, there's a handful of dates left for the Vanity Tour. They're doing some makeup dates in the Midwest in February, and potentially the last time you'll get to see Weird Al Jeopardy in action.
So go
freeze to death and watch that, maybe.
Yes.
And I'm months away from launching a Kickstarter for my own documentary that features the stories of burlesque dancers who stripped to music by Weird Al.
Yeah, the show
gals. Right. We did talk about that. Yes, that's amazing. Yes. Well, once that launches, we will absolutely make sure that our listeners are aware.
I appreciate
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, of course.
I will also make sure they're aware. What?
Yes.
We'll get you back on.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, you guys.
Hi, friends. The world got you down. Don't be sad. Listen to $2 Late Fee with Zach and Dustin.
$2 Late Fee is the podcast that celebrates the best decade of entertainment, the 1980s. We pick a movie and soundtrack from our youth that we loved and see if it holds up today. We also interview your favorite celebrities from that era.
All in the spirit of positivity and togetherness. Check us out at $2LateFee.com.
To entertain you, we'll sing your songs.
Hey there, are you obsessed with things that happened before your time? Well, if you are, join me, the host of Before My Time, Gelsey Lori, to discuss the wonders of the yesteryears that we weren't around to enjoy ourselves. You can find us on all podcast platforms.
Dixieland's a playing, soon you'll be swaying, so come on, sing along.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.